Again, I'm honored to be here today. Very much so. This congregation has meant lots to me down through the years. They supported camp, the camp work we did for many, many years. Charlie called me, and I appreciate Charlie. Any basketball player played for me to wind up an elder of this congregation, I'm proud of him. But his brothers, David, Lawrence, great part of my life, of course, of the team there playing ball. You know, this congregation, years and years ago, they'd come to worship at camp on Wednesday night and Sunday night. Fact of business, I think their congregation finally set the program at 5 o'clock so they wouldn't have to come out there so early. But they were coming to a dirty church. They didn't have change clothes. And they just fill up their bleachers out there, not bleachers, but here we sit on the ground. And we had lots of fun with them coming to church and support the program that we had going then. Brother Dixon, the president of Freedom Hardeman, a grand old man that I loved. He was out there one Wednesday night or one night when I was speaking, and I got through with the kid. He walked with me back over to the building. He said, "Brother Kirk, you could be preaching somewhere." I took that lesson. And I've been preaching for 50 years or over 50 years. From the seed that he sowed. I know I'm not a Billy Smith or Roy Sharp or Tom Holland, but I certainly hope that the Lord's pleased. See Joe Harden here, how many trips we had together, but I think of him quite often when I look at my deposit slip and see the retirement program I had that he and Brother Gardner started in the 60s. It's had a great part in my retirement and my living. I work with Coach Stewart. Coach Stewart worshiped here. He had a taxi business during the war. I don't know what all did. He was a politician, if you ever known one. We went down in Mississippi one night, carried with us down in Mississippi to Alabama, down to Alabama, Athens, Alabama. We carried with us a boy named Alexandra. We went to see a guy to play ball. His name was Moses. Moses was a great athlete. The next day in the class he was teaching, Roy Sharp was in that class. Coach Stewart looked over to Alexander and he said, "Alexander, pop off, tell us what you know about Moses." Oh, Alexander looked at me and he said, "Well, Coach Stewart, all I know about Moses, he built the ark." Coach Stewart dismissed his class. He wouldn't even keep him in there any longer. I'm thankful for this congregation, the people of Chester County, supporting my grandson, who's the state representative that you have supported, and I certainly appreciate that. I'm an old man, and I know I'm past midnight, but I'm looking forward to going to heaven. A place there'll be no sickness, no dying, no separation. My wife and I, and she's sorry she couldn't be here today. We have buried our children. I buried my daughter. Buried my wife. My mom and dad, my brother and sister. She buried two sons. One with Lou Gehrig disease. Another in a car accident. Buried her husband. Been a widow for 16 years when I talked her into the notion of marrying this old man. What a great joy that's been to marry that Christian woman. In Colossians, you read a while ago, that we might walk worthy. Listen to that now. That we might walk worthy of what the Lord wants us to do, to live right. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing men. Fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. I appreciate this good work that you're doing for the camps, especially Mid-South Youth Camp. That sure helped mold my life, and I might have helped some kids, but the camp was a great influence on me. The manner of life would be pleasing to God. And they were strengthened by the knowledge of His Word. I don't know how many times I opened camp on Sunday afternoon that we're a Bible camp. We stand on this Word, the Holy Word of God. And we're directed by that Holy Word to live by it as faithfully as we possibly can. This is one of Paul's favorite themes in Ephesians 4 and 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you've been called. In Philippians 1:27, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Can the world tell you're a Christian by the manner of your life? Or do you have to tell them you're a Christian? At camp one night, a young man from Mississippi speaking. He said, if it's against the law to be a Christian, is there enough evidence against us to convict us? The Lord said, you know, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you took me in. That old song we sing often, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those in need. Do I do that? Could they bring those things against me in the court of law to prove that I was a Christian? In Thessalonians 2 and 12 verse, that you walk worthy of God who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. To walk worthy. 2 Thessalonians 4:1, you ought to walk to please God. Are we pleasing God in our life? Learning, listen to me. Learning can never be separated from living. How many times you heard somebody get up and make an announcement or lead the closing prayer at church and say, may we take the things that's been spoken today and apply them to our life that we might be instruments of good for the cause of Christ. Are the things we heard we don't do anything about? Preacher talks about attending and I don't attend. The teacher talks about giving and I don't give. He talks about the Lord's Supper, but I don't show up for it. I should put the things I heard in my life that I could please God, consistent with the gospel, that the behavior will truly be molded by their beliefs. What do you believe? I can tell the way you believe, the way you worship, the way you live. Truly, the knowledge of God's will is to control our very thoughts. What do you think about? To control our affections. Who do you love? What do you love? What directs your life? Your purposes. What are you living for? Your plans. What are your plans? How about your parents? Are you working to plan for the things for your children? That's why it's important we have camps. Christian camp that our kids can be taught how to live. This is the walk of life. Walk in the light, he's in the light. The gospel of the blood of Christ continues to flow every day that our sins can be remitted. Years and years I've heard that referred to as like a car windshield wiper wiping the rain off. That blood continues to wipe the cleanses of our sins, that we can be as white as snow and be pleasing in the sight of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith comes by hearing. Paul told Timothy, study and show thyself approved unto God, but workmen need not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we come to Bible study. That's why we have teachers teaching us what's important about the word of God. As Paul wrote, as he read a while ago, Irvin, denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Let your light so shine that people might see your good works and glorify the Father. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. But what if we've lost that saving power? The motive for living such a life is to be well-pleasing to God and the Father. Romans 12:1 says, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, brothers, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Why is it so important we want to live right? So the Christian seeks to please his manner of life to his Father who first loved us. The songs while ago about Jesus, who made his only begotten Son to become sin on our behalf. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Who has given us every spiritual blessing we have. Ephesians 1:3. There must also be the doing of the will of God. Many people have possessed a knowledge of the truth, but they have not and unwillingly and unable to submit their will to the will of the Father. I may know it, but do I apply it to my life every day? It's so important that we live to please God. In the parable of the two sons, Matthew 21, Jesus described his son who said he would obey the Father's command. But he didn't do it. He knew what the will was, but he didn't do it. The other one repented. We're fooling ourselves if we believe that knowing the will of God will be saved. We must also obey the will of God. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my Father's will. Well, I don't know how many people have asked me the last 50 years or more, or talked to me, say, you think y'all are the only ones going to heaven? I look them in the eye, I said, the only people who are going to heaven are those who do the will of God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth my Father's will. There's not much they can come back with that. They may not even baptize for the remission of sins. They may not observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. They may not have qualified elders to supervise the congregation. But still, they're saying they're all right. Paul prayed first that his Colossian brothers may grow in wisdom of God. How often do you ask God for wisdom? And then the second thing that Paul said, you may grow in their daily walk with God like Enoch did. He walked with God. Can they say that about us? own response to the call should be expressed in the words of Paul. We made it our aim to be well-pleasing unto Him. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Proverbs 4:5 says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. I need wisdom. Get understanding. Do not be contented with lessons of wisdom merely. Do not be satisfied with having a sound religious creed. The devils believe and tremble, but they're not saved. But see that they properly comprehend all that thou hast learned. Comprehend what you've learned. And see thou rightly apply all that that he has been taught. We go to our Bible classes. We listen to lessons. Do we take those lessons and apply them to our life? Paul writes, by joy is the radiance that should clothe the Christian. Joy should be in our heart. As the children of God, we even right reason to rejoice. Philippians 4 says, rejoice. And again I say rejoice, rejoice evermore. Why shouldn't I be rejoicing? I have a place in heaven. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions, he told them. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again that you may be there also. Thomas said, how will we know the way, Lord? I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I mean, millions of people we have in America and throughout the world don't even believe in Jesus. Acts tells us no other name under heaven where man might be saved than that of Jesus Christ. That's why we sing about Him and read about Him and talk about Him and remember His death, burial, and resurrection. Christianity is not a burden or a sacrifice, as some people say. As some people want to depict it, Jesus said, I came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. More life in a Christian life than there is in the other kind. By joy that the world may never, the joy that the world will never know, but not being obedient to the commands of God. The joy that comes from knowing who we are. Who are we? The joy of what we're doing. What are we doing? Where are we going? That's what we're concerned about, where we're going. Oliver Wendell Holmes said that as a youth, he once considered about becoming a minister until he realized that all the ministries knew looked like undertakers. That's the way we want to look. That's the way we want to act, like an undertaker. Nothing wrong with undertakers. My brother was an undertaker for 35, 40 years. Nothing wrong with an undertaker, but what kind of life do we show? Are we drab? Or are we pleasant in the sight of God? What image are we projecting to the world about the Christian life that we're living that people would think we were undertakers? And I like undertakers. I work with some. One of my members and deacons is an undertaker in Perry County. Good man, good family. And he didn't look like what we say undertaker looked like years ago. As we walk with the Lord and work for Him, is our life a sad song? Or is it a happy song? Remember, Paul said again, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice always. What a privilege to be a child of God and to have the hope of eternal life with God. If you're here today and not a Christian, you don't have any hope. I don't know how many times Brother Bradfield would use that in his sermon. No hope, no hope. If you haven't been obedient to the gospel and been baptized for the remission of sins and let the Lord add you to the church. Well, what if we've done that and we slipped away and we're not faithful? And people know that we're not faithful. Do you need to respond today as we stand to sing?